But he also wanted to set a business up that showed that it could operate in an ethical and honourable way, and still be profitable and still grow to be successful.
Hi, and welcome to the Sustainable Fashion Wingman podcast and launch episode at that. Very excited to bring this series to you. I'm Sebastian Volney, your host, helping you dress, live and work more sustainably. We'd love it, of course, if you subscribe to the podcast as we aim to bring you more exciting talks from the world of sustainable fashion regularly. Today, we're talking to Ryan Shannon, Managing Director of Bamboo Clothing, the sustainably focused brand leading the way in bamboo-based activewear, which has grown to a massive 20 million sales since they started in 2006. Want to know how they did it? Let's find out. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Sebastian. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show, our launch show, and a brilliant way to start it off. We're going to tell us all about the fun and vibrant eco brand Bamboo Clothing. So, Ryan, give us a little bit of background about yourself and what Bamboo does.
So, I have been managing director here at Bamboo Clothing for just over 2 years now. And prior to that, I had a very different career. I was agency side, so working with lots of different consumer brands, always in the direct consumer space, starting way before even the internet was a thing. And probably, you know, pertinent to this conversation, starting way before sustainability was a thing. I mean, obviously, people have been concerned about the planet for a while, but I think consumers' interest in being actively involved in living more sustainable lifestyles has certainly seen an acceleration in the last few years. And certainly since I joined BAM, the fashion industry in particular has come in for a lot of scrutiny in this space. So I didn't join BAM as a sustainability expert. I joined them as a sort of business and marketing expert, but really have learned a lot and really enjoyed getting underneath the sort of sustainability aspect of our business.
Fantastic. And of course, like you say, a lot of brands are becoming more aware that they have to be more sustainable these days because it's what the consumer wants. It's what people who are working in those careers want as well. And BAM, obviously, like you said, started off before a lot of people were aware of the need to become more sustainable, like they are, as much as they are today, at least. But BAM itself is actually built on those foundations from the beginning. So what makes BAM such a sustainably focused brand? What are the positive environmental benefits of BAM and Bamboo itself? And, you know, why is sustainability so important to the business?
That's a good question. And we have to go right back to the start, really, in that the business was set up and is still owned by David Gordon. And David, way back in 2006, was probably ahead of the curve a little bit in that he wanted to do two things. He wanted to set up a business that was sustainable, and I'll come on and talk more about what that meant. But he also wanted to set a business up that showed that it could operate in an ethical and honourable way, and still be profitable and still grow to be successful. And that ambition is core to the business even today. So in terms of Bamboo, that was something that David discovered, in inverted commas, that could be used as a fabric back in 2006 before it was as common as even it is now, which is still pretty uncommon. And it has got some particularly sort of sustainable benefits in that it's grown naturally in the wild, in that it uses natural rainwater, it's not irrigated, doesn't use chemicals or pesticides. It's grown on land that can't really be used for anything else, so it's not taking up valuable land for food production or other uses. And it sustains a very strong biodiversity as well, both in terms of the natural habitat in which it grows. Obviously, if we're farming the bamboo forests, they're being looked after, they're being cared for, they're not being ripped down, and that keeps the biodiversity within those areas. But also from a sustainability point of view, people often think carbon first, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit more detail. But from a carbon perspective, bamboo is very sustainable as well, in that it locks most of the carbon it absorbs into its root system. So unlike a tree, when a tree is felled, that carbon gets released back into the atmosphere as the pulp is used When you cut or farm bamboo, 70% of the carbon remains in the root system and never gets exposed. So David discovered that bamboo could be made into a fabric and really thought there was something in this as a business idea. I think back then, though, he sort of played down the sustainability angle a little bit. As I say, it wasn't probably top of people's agenda in terms of buying sustainable anything, let alone clothing. And by talking about it back then, he feared he would become sort of pigeonholed as a bit of an eco-warrior, which he's not. He's very knowledgeable and concerned about the planet. Like I say, he has a sort of ethical and moral way of doing business, but he's not he's not a preacher about it. He just wants to do the best that he can with himself and the business. And back then as well, I think if you went out with a sustainable message, most people thought, well, I'm probably going to be paying more for that, and it's probably not going to be quite as good as the sort of traditional conventional alternative. And so for that reason, he sort of played it down. When I joined 2 years ago, though, the sort of tide was turning, consumer interest was turning. And so we made a concerted effort to start to expose and be more transparent around the sustainability message that the bamboo business had. And the strides that we'd made to try and, you know, live to those morals and those ethics.
Yeah. So like you say as well, a lot of companies are trying to be more sustainable, but they're often trying to find ways of pivoting to become more sustainable as opposed to starting off. So they're looking at new fibers. And that's the interesting thing about BAM is it actually started off with a sustainable fiber in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting, all the aspects that you've discussed there about sustainability, about bamboo being a sustainable fiber in itself. How much of your products are based on bamboo?
Well, bamboo is our single, or is the largest component of all of our product range. But along with organic cotton, which is something else that we use, makes up about 75% of the fibers that we use across our range. So a fair proportion. And then the other fibers that we use are largely recycled. So elastane, for example, and we're constantly looking at ways that we can replace some of those non-organic or natural fibers with alternatives, which hits on a sort of an issue which, when we've now looked at how do we become even more sustainable, not just around the fibers that we use, but as a business, we are reliant on pushing the industry to move in our direction. We can't create every commercially viable solution to every problem that we can see as a business. We need the industry to move with us, and we want to be a force for making that happen. But we need the other industry partners to take it equally as seriously.
Yes, of course. And I think what's great about what bamboo does and what you've just said as well is that a lot of people do think that a sustainable business either can't be profitable or they have to be really expensive products, and that makes it inaccessible to the majority of consumers out there. Whereas obviously what Bamboo does is it produces a product which actually addresses all of those issues. I mean, obviously you're a very profitable company, you've grown in such a large way in such a short amount of time, and yet you're still producing product which most people can generally afford. And just tell us a bit what type of products you do. I know it's activewear.
Yeah, so again, this comes from Dave, the owner. He was sort of an athlete and an adventurer in his spare time. And so when he first designed a range, he naturally designed it for the type of garments that he liked to wear. So base layers, shorts, T-shirts, training tops. And we've stayed true to that sort of we've expanded the categories. So we now do a lot of yoga wear, for example. But all of our categories and all of our products are designed for actually doing something in. Now, I'm not saying everybody who buys our clothes is out actively training or exercising every moment of every day, and equally they can wear their BAM clothing during the day, and especially this year when everyone's been working from home, or a lot of people have been working from home, certainly the type of clothing that we make has become more mainstream. But that's the essence of the range. We talk about wanting to be sort of internationally recognized as the most sustainable activewear brand in the world, and that's where we're aiming to get to. And bamboo lends itself to certain types of activity. It's very comfortable, it's very stretchy, it absorbs water and sweat in a certain way, it doesn't create odor as much as cotton. So there are some, again, intrinsic values to bamboo as a yarn, as a fabric, that helps that category that we're in.
It's interesting what you're saying, actually, about a lot of people were wearing activewear at home. It's obviously been a big, a booming product area over lockdown, of course. But of course, I mean, like you say, you don't have to just wear it sitting at home. And it is very much for, you know, doing yoga or activities, which hopefully a lot more people will be able to do now that we're opening up the events.
Yeah, and I think if this last year has done anything, it's made people more conscious about taking care of their own health. And we've certainly seen great engagement with our social media in terms of things like yoga lessons online. You know, we started with a few hundred people watching them, and it's in the thousands now. So we can see that is a lifestyle change that I think will go way beyond, you know, the current crisis.
Yeah, I remember seeing some of the live Instagram yoga lessons in the mornings that I've been checking into every now and again. Not that I'm very good at yoga, to be fair, I'm not that stretchy. So you were talking about as well how, you know, you want to be a globally renowned activewear brand. It's not easy actually even starting a fashion brand in the first place, especially those that are purpose driven. I just wanted to try and find out as well from you, what are the challenges? What have been the challenges in growing a brand, but to ensure as well that you stuck to its core environmental values?
Yeah, I think some of those things are getting that messaging right, the tone right. You know, we want people to come to BAM because the products we make are excellent. They're good value, as you say, priced accessibly. And so we want to be seen as a genuine alternative to other activewear brands. But we also want them to understand the positioning that we're coming to on sustainability. And so, you know, the challenge there is, you know, how do you educate the customers to be interested in, or how to do it in a way that will make them interested? We don't want to be preachy. We don't want to be worthy about it. We just want to be informative and give people the information. So that's one of the challenges. I suppose the other bigger challenge was, so when I joined a couple of years ago, and we sort of made the decision then that the time was right to really start to elevate that part of our proposition and that part of our business culture and ethos. But before we did that, we wanted, or I particularly wanted, to make sure that we were very certain of what we could and couldn't say. You know, we wanted to be totally transparent. We knew we're not a perfectly sustainable business. And I think it's only right that we look at the things and say, look, we're doing these things really well, and, you know, other people should follow. These things here are still a bit of a problem, but we've got a plan for how we're going to rectify and make those better. And the first thing that was very clear was there is no blueprint to this. It's so new. You know, you can't just sign up to X charter and say, well, if we can tick all of those boxes, we can genuinely say we're sustainable. And so that was one of the biggest challenges that we faced. And we sort of just came to a conclusion relatively quickly that if we were going to decide when we'd achieve sustainability, we were going to have to write what that ambition was. And so we spent probably the first 12 months really defining what that ambition was and understanding how we were currently performing against that ambition. And that's taken investment. It's taken time. We've worked with a number of partners. We haven't done everything ourselves. And that's true of everything that we've done. And that comes back to an interesting point about profitability, in that, you know, you can't do a lot of these things unless you're a profitable growing business, because it takes time, money, resources, and only profitable business can afford to invest that. And so, you know, that's one of the things I sort of talk to my team here about, is, you know, we shouldn't be embarrassed about growing and being profitable and wanting to be sustainable, because if we don't do the first, the second becomes so much harder to achieve. And so, you know, as managing director, I'm balancing that scale all the time. Though I do truly believe that the long-term future of bamboo clothing or any business is to get that sustainability right. Because I think whether it's 2 years from now or 5 years or 10 years from now, brands that have not got that will not be in business.
Absolutely. So it is a lot about, obviously, you know, you say investment and requiring the profits in order to actually move forward as a sustainable brand. And I guess when you say investment, it's all about the priorities as well. You know, for BAM, you know, the priority of investment is to become sustainable, where, you know, another brand, its priority may just be to make profit in order to produce more ranges, for example. So it is about prioritizing your investments. So just coming back again to looking at, you know, you're going to become this globally renowned activewear brand, which we can see happening. What do you need to do to get there?
With the sustainability side, I never forget that actually what's going to get us there is good products. You know, we cannot, that's ultimately what we're selling to our customers. They might buy into the sustainability message, but the value exchange is very much our products. So we have a really good focus on quality of product. And, you know, that's just not just sort of fit and fabric and wear, but also design as well. We want to have a sort of distinctive design. So that, you know, that's sort of, if you like, the platform. From there, then it's about what else can the brand bring to the customer. And like I say, we've seen sustainability become much greater in the consciousness of the consumer. We talk to our customers a lot about what that means to them. A lot of them, you know, route one, talk about carbon. And so when we put our plan together, climate carbon is one of our measures. And that's probably the one that we've sort of moved to first, because that was the one that our customers were telling us they understood and was the most important. But, you know, what we want to do is also, as part of their relationship with BAM, is start to lift their head up a bit and say, well, actually, yes, the climate is vitally important, and that's what everyone understands, but there's so much more to being a sustainable business. What about waste going into landfill, which is a particular problem for fashion? You know, what about the water that's being used in the production and growth of production of these materials and the growth of the raw fabrics? Chemical usage is another one. You know, you can't get away from the fact that even bamboo clothes has chemical usage within its manufacturing process. And then also, you know, land as well. You know, the amount of land that is taken up to grow cotton, for example, is immense. And that's why we only use organic cotton. And then, you know, the other thing that is particularly prevalent within the fashion industry is people. You know, how are the people in your supply chain treated? You know, not just the people directly in the BAM business or even in the factories that we buy our products from, but, you know, when you go down through the fabric mills and the yarn producers right down to the farmers who farm the bamboo, are they being treated fairly and, you know, with dignity and paid a living wage? And so those are all the sort of areas that we defined. And now what we want to do is get our customers engaged with that and understanding that we're trying to do all of these things, if you like, on their behalf, so that when they do buy a piece of clothing from bamboo, they can be really certain that they're buying into something that hits all of those marks.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because even if you do shop somewhere that is, you know, as sustainable, or it's called sustainable, it's hard to really know what that means. You know, are you buying into greenwashing, for example? Are you buying into, you know, a brand that's just trying to market itself as green, but not necessarily ticking the boxes or doing the, you know, well, they're ticking the boxes, but they're not doing the work behind. And I know that Bamboo is very much adamant that they make sure that they are following the processes. And I know that you use a lot of accreditation, like RAP, for example. And I believe you're trying to move towards more accreditations like B Corp, I believe.
That's correct. Yeah.
Just explain a bit about what those are.
So B Corp has sustainability as part of its accreditation, but it's really more of a corporate governance, I would say, sort of accreditation. And so it looks at a number of different ways in which we run, organise and build our business. So across, again, how we treat people, you know, but also things like carbon footprint, but also processes that you use. It's not quite as big in the UK, I wouldn't say, as it is probably in mainland Europe and especially in the US, but it is growing. And you'll see an increasing number of people either B Corp accredited or B Corp pending, as in they've made an application, and because of the number of people who are doing so, they take a while to get through and give you the accreditation. But they're just one, and this is a good example of just getting B Corp accredited, I don't think means you're a sustainable business. It means you're a B Corp accredited business, and that's a fantastic thing to be, but that's not the end of it. And I don't think there is one accreditation that you can get. And that's what we found when we were sort of looking at, you know, so we work with a lot of other organizations. We, going back, yeah, we work with an organization called ZDHC that came out of Greenpeace, and they've specifically are targeted to make sure that the use of chemicals is done through the supply chain in a safe way. And we are working with them to audit our supply chain to make sure any chemical usage that we can't eradicate is at least done in good order. We're also working with Fairware, who are looking at people in those supply chains. So we will work with them to audit our supply chain, make sure that the people are being treated fairly in health and safety and all like that. So you've got to go and pick up all these relationships, I think. And I think that gives you two things. One is it's not us marking our own homework. It'd be great. You know, we go and visit. We've made the investment in going right down through our supply chain, not just the tier one factories, but actually taking an interest in their suppliers, right back to the farmers who harvest our bamboo. But it's all very well for us to go there and see it and come back and say, I think everything's as good as it could be. But it doesn't hold much water, I think. And so the benefit of working with people like ZDHA and Fairware is that they're independent and they are experts in their field. And if they say that the standards are good or that there are things that need to be corrected, it comes from an independent third party. And so it gives us credibility, but it also gives us expert input into those areas. And so we will continue to expand out the range of third-party organisations we work with that we can learn from. You know, we're not going to get it all from our own knowledge and experience, but also that gives us the help and prioritisation of where we need to look next.
I love the way that you put it there, not marking your own homework. Because it is, it's a very complicated, it's a complicated system to be sustainable as a fashion brand. And like you say, you're actually building relationships with so many different organizations there, because they're the experts in those specific fields. And also, like you mentioned, you know, it's not just about, I mean, sustainability is almost like an umbrella term. And even when I use it myself, it doesn't just mean, you know, the product is sustainable. It means that you're looking at the way the workers in the supply chain are treated. You're looking at the way that wages are provided. You're looking at the way that the agriculture is carried out for, you know, for producing the materials right from the beginning, you know, and the whole process really is about cradle to cradle. It's about every single step of that supply chain. And if to be truly sustainable, if you want to use it in that conceptual way, it does mean addressing every single point along the way, to even, you know, recycling and what you do with the product at the end of its life once the customer's finished with it. How does BAM deal with things like product at the end of its life cycle?
Yeah, you pick a really valid point there. And I'll approach that slightly with telling the story of when we decided to, you know, set our goals. You know, we could have easily just looked at the BAM business, the UK-based business, but we decided not to. You know, we decided we, you know, our impact goes much beyond that. You know, so the obvious thing is you go back down the chain and you go, right, I'm going to go back right to the point of the raw material and follow that all the way through. And some organizations have stopped at their own organization. Some have done what we've done and looked at their supply chain. But we also then decided that actually some of our greater impacts are at the other end of the chain. And actually the fact that, you know, like you say, the use and end use of our products that we're producing, and that we had to take some responsibility for that. And so when we measured our carbon footprint, for example, we did so throughout the chain, including up to 50 washes for every garment that we put into the market. So that's one thing we did. So whilst we're at the moment offsetting our carbon through sort of accredited program, our view is obviously to try and reduce that carbon so that we're not actually creating any in the first place. But that's going to take time, 10 years or more. You know, we can do some of it easily by changing to green tariffs. What we can't do is change all our customers to a green tariff or make them throw away their tumble dryers. Or so some of that's education. But what we're also doing, because that sort of circularity is, again, something, you know, and we even have a conversation internally to say, you know, should it be sustainable or should we be a regenerative business? That's the next sort of phase, the next set of goals. But let's stick to sustainable for the time being. And so we've looked at ways that we can help our customers and help our own business reduce that waste into landfill. And so we have been piloting a program with a charity, again, a third-party organization called Shareware, who have set up to eradicate clothing poverty from the UK, which sadly shouldn't be a thing, but it is. And they've got an allegiance with us because of their active wear. Sort of their sort of start point was, how can we sort of push or encourage or cajole children to be more active in their lifestyles, or adults come to that, whether it's young adults or adults, to be more active in their lifestyle if there's a large or a significant proportion of them who just don't have any kit to do it in. You know, you can't run without trainers. You can't run in bad weather without a jacket. And you know, ideally you should be running in some sort of training top and shorts. So we've partnered with them. So our customers can now, or at the moment we're paused just while they get their organization sort of scaled up. But we did a pilot earlier this year where customers could request a free postage paid shareware bag as part of their order. And then they were encouraged to fill that with not just BAM clothing. You know, we didn't restrict it to that. They could fill it with any clothing and send it to shareware. We had a phenomenal uptake from our customers, and a phenomenal amount of clothing was sent to shareware, hence why they're having to gear up their operational side of things until we open it up again. But that's one way to make sure that the end of life of our products and our and clothing generally that our customers own is being extended as far as it can. And shareware will then redistribute those clothes, and where they really aren't fit for purpose or can't be mended or whatever, then they will make sure that they go into some sort of recycle program. So that's one way we're doing it. The other way we're now designing our products or some of our products with sort of circularity in mind. So we launched a bamboo denim last year, which took about 3 years to sort of bring to market, because we had to develop the fabric, first of all, before we could even design and make the jeans. And we designed that, we signed up to the Ellen MacArthur Institute, have launched a denim redesign, or jeans redesign protocol, which tells you the best way to make a pair of jeans so that they are lowest impact, but also recyclable at the end of their life. And so it's simple things like, you know, certain dyeing processes like styling you couldn't do. You can't have the metal rivets all over the jeans, which is sort of a traditional look. Our buttons are, you can unscrew them and remove them so that the whole of the jean can be recycled. And likewise, another product we launched this year, in fact, was a waterproof outerwear jacket, which we've been asked for years and years and years by our customers who are outside exercising. You know, why can't you give us something that's waterproof? And the bottom line was, you can't really waterproof bamboo. So we didn't ignore it. We thought about it for a long time and then realized that actually a possible solution was to launch the first product that had no bamboo element to it. But we sort of justified that because we made it from virtually 100% recycled materials, and we made the jacket so that it would be 100% recyclable at the end of its life. And again, that took years of development because we had to make sure, one of the things you have to do is basically make it from the same material. So the zip, the cuffs, any drawstrings, all have to be the same material. So it's effectively one material item. It doesn't have to be made, ripped apart to be recycled. And we're now working with another third party, Plan B, they're called, who are looking at to develop a commercially viable way for us to totally recycle those products at the end of their life, which may be, you know, 3 or 4 years, 5 years from now by the time, you know, our customers are ready to recycle them. So, you know, we're looking at solutions all the way throughout the life stage of our products, both in terms of how they're manufactured, but how they're used and how they could be recycled at the end of life. And, you know, again, our waste goal is by 2030 that, you know, zero of our clothing will go into landfill.
That's incredible. And I think looking at the weather we've had for the last few weeks, a rain jacket is exactly what people need. I'm not surprised they've been asking for it. But it just goes to show that it's been a very well thought out process, looking at every stage, like you say, from the beginning right to the end of the product life cycle, as to how you're going to address a sustainable future of the BAM product. One last bonus question for you, Ryan, for our podcast listeners who have stuck out this long, which I've got to thank you very much, is what is BAM's most sustainably produced item?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I would say the outerwear, ironically, is because that's probably the most recent, totally new innovation that we've added to the range. And because in order to justify adding that to the range, we've had to make sure that it is from recycled materials and recyclable. Obviously, some of our sort of very basic cotton underwear products are, you know, organic cotton. So that, you know, that some of the basics are very sustainable because they're pretty simple, single fabric and simple material products. But I would say, yeah, definitely the outerwear and the denim, again, because they've both been designed in relatively recently, they've been designed when the whole sustainability drive that we've brought to the business was really top and center. And we wouldn't have done it unless we could have added them to the range in a sustainable way. Which is another sort of, you asked about challenges earlier. You know, quite often, I think the challenge for any business wanting to be sustainable in the long term is those short term sacrifices of not doing things. We could have bought in a nylon polyester waterproof outer 5 years ago and been selling them and making money out of them. You know, we chose not to. We chose to sacrifice that revenue stream because we couldn't do it in a sustainable way. And so that's another challenge that you have as a business when you've got external investors wanting to grow and get profit. You know, sometimes you can't do the short-term gain thing because it's just not sustainably the right thing to do, though commercially it might be.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, though, that if you actually put your mind to it, put some effort behind it, you can still be profitable and still produce an actual sustainable product. Which is exactly the ethos of BAM. And I believe a lot of brands out there would like to do the same thing as well. Well, I'd like to thank you, Ryan, for coming onto the show today. And, you know, it's made an excellent introduction to the first Fashion Wingman podcast episode. And if the listeners would like to learn more about BAM and their bamboo products, you can follow the link, which will be in the description of the podcast. And also you can check it out on our Instagram page as well. So thank you, Ryan. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Thank you for your time. I enjoyed the conversation. And what I would say to any of your listeners is we're very open and transparent about what we're doing and how we're doing it. And we're open to being challenged as well. So if anyone wants to engage with us, talk with us about what they're doing, or if we can help them do something, then we're more than happy. This is not going to be something that BAM or any single brand is going to be able to solve on its own. And the more collaboration there is, the quicker we'll get there. So please do. You know, feel free to get in contact if you there's something that you've got to contribute or discuss.
That's fantastic. And they can do that via the website, can't they?
They can.
Brilliant. Excellent. Yeah. And collaboration is key, I think, for a sustainable future in the industry. Well, I've been Sebastian, and this has been the Sustainable Fashion Wingman podcast. Remember to subscribe so that we can bring you more helpful choices in dressing, living, and working more sustainably.